Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, everyone in the franchise world. My name is Paul Segreto, and this is Franchise Today. I trust everyone had a very safe and healthy and happy Thanksgiving. I'd like to thank everyone within the franchise community for all your well wishes and congratulations on the birth of my first grandson, Michael Paul. All the kind words truly make me feel like franchising is my extended family, and I really thank everybody. Well, in our last show before the Thanksgiving holiday, my guest was David Pearl, a business financial consultant at Pearl Business Group and former CFO at several franchise companies. David and I had a very interesting discussion about financial reporting within franchise organizations. And as you may recall, that segment was the final part of the franchise financial series that co-producer Joe Caruso put together and started with Bruce Schaefer in our discussion about franchise succession and business valuation. The two-part series definitely proved most popular, as evident by the high number of on-demand listens throughout the holiday weekend. The series and all Franchise Today segments are available on demand at www.blogtalkradio.com/franchisetodayshow. Now, next week on Franchise Today, my guest will be the IFA's Alisa Harrison as we discuss everything IFA. And then the following week on December 16th, my guests will be Deb Evans and BJ Emerson, both of Social Geek Radio and, of course, from Franchisors Computer Explorers and Tasty Delight, respectively. And we'll be discussing social media within franchising, which, of course, we've done before, but this time with a twist as we discuss some of the new wave of social media, along with a few thoughts about minimizing fears of social media by using technology to make working within social media much easier. After all, as we always say, it's not rocket science. Then Franchise Today will be off the air through the holidays and will return live on Thursday, January 6th. Co-producer Joe Caruso has some exciting things planned for Franchise Today in the first half of 2011, including the second annual Legal Eagle Franchise Series. The first Legal Series, which aired last May, was extremely popular, and this year's event should be even better. Currently, topics are being defined and guests lined up. Also for 2011, Joe is working on our second annual Franchise Finance Series, airing live last June. The initial series was also very popular. Of course, in between these two series, Joe's already lining up some very special guests from the world of franchising, but as you could imagine, there are still spots to fill. So if you'd like to be a guest or have a recommendation for a guest or a topic of discussion, please sure to email Joe direct at jcfran1@msn.com. Now, this past Tuesday, we presented a 90-minute webinar on franchise social media. I'd like to thank all who attended. And if you didn't have the opportunity to attend or want to share it with some of your colleagues at your company, the full presentation is available on Franchise Essentials site at www.fmdpro.com. And the other day, Nancy Weingartner and I were discussing some of the upcoming segments of Franchise Times. For January, they're working on a lot of great stories, including Franchise Times' annual 20 to Watch, also, you know, which is a look at the movers and shapers of franchising. Some who are doing great things and who have some obstacles to overcome. The January issue will also include franchise success stories, personality profiles, and the latest on financing, plus photo coverage from our Restaurant Finance and Development Conference, the West Coast Franchise Expo, and the American Bar Association Forum on Franchising's Legal Symposium, all from last year or earlier in the year. Thanks again, Nancy and Franchise Times, for keeping us informed. I look forward to having Nancy as my guest on Franchising Today, leading up to the IFA convention in February 2011. And speaking of the IFA and the convention, if you haven't already registered, please do so today by visiting Franchise Essentials site at www.fndpro.com and click on the IFA 2011 logo, which will take you directly to the IFA registration page. Now, continuing in the IFA corner, two amendments to repeal the burdensome 1099 reporting requirements due to come into effect in 2012 actually fell short of the necessary votes for passage in the Senate. Repeal of this provision is a top priority for the IFA, which has strongly communicated its unequivocal support for repeal to all senators in advance of these votes. The amendment sponsored by Senator Mike Johanns, Republican in Nebraska, received a 61-35 vote, and the one sponsored by Senator Max Baucus of Montana was 44-53. This is likely to be the last set of votes on the 1099 issue until the next session of Congress. So the ISA asks everyone to remind lawmakers of the burden of the expanded reporting requirements and the need for full repeal. On a brighter note, IFA's Franchise Expo South, scheduled January 14th to 16th, will enable your franchise to extend its reach into new markets, spend face-to-face time with investors, and provide its representatives with numerous educational opportunities. So, join your fellow franchise colleagues heading to Miami to heat up their brand's presence in the southeastern U.S., Latin America, and the Caribbean. The trade show is sponsored by MFV Expositions and will be conducted at the Miami Beach Convention Center. I mean, what a great one-two punch. Winner in South Beach in Miami in January and Vegas for the IFA convention in February. Well, today I welcome as my guest Jeremy LeDuc, President and CEO at Elements, Inc., an industry leader in franchise website development and developers of the Elements Local Online Marketing Solution. Jeremy and I will discuss technology and franchise marketing with focus on social media, SEO, local search, and email and mobile marketing. Jeremy, welcome to Franchise Today.
Thanks, Paul. It's really great to be here.
Well, it's great having you here. I know you're extremely busy, so I really appreciate the time you're giving us today. You know, as I wrote back in August, I believe in Franchising World, the IFA's publication, which I might remind everybody, is turning 25 years old next month. The key to technology usage is developing an integrated plan, choosing the most complementary tools, and implementing well-planned strategies. And certainly, people should not look at technology as rocket science. There's so much information that's out there that makes it easy to use, and maybe we can give them a little bit of insight today into how to use it. So why don't we look at this, because I know a lot of times you and I are on the same page. We've done some webinars together. We did, I know Elements Local and yourself do the CFE social media series, and I've been very appreciative of you including me in that, as well as some other webinars that we've done together. And I know we're on the same page with respects to thoughts on utilizing technology within franchise marketing. So why don't we look at it from the perspective of today of a franchise company starting out and the necessary things they would need to put into place from a technology standpoint in starting off on the right foot. And, of course, I think that automatically starts with websites. Do you have any suggestions for franchisors starting out, looking at it from the franchise marketing perspective of how to use technology as they're starting to develop their website?
Sure. And as always, you put, I believe, a pretty complex subject very eloquently. That you're really, the way you said it actually put me at ease when normally I'm not at ease thinking about all the complexities of how to talk about the ecosystem of technology required for really today's world of websites and social and email and now local websites. It's gotten pretty complex. So to speak to your point about starting with a website, which is great because everybody has to go through the redevelopment of their website every few years anyway. So even if you really are just starting out or you're at a point where you're looking at redeveloping, you really have to go back to basics and start from the ground up and just think fresh. What do I need with my website? And, you know, some of the things you're going to have to look for in today's world is you need a great base platform, what's called a content management software. There's lots of platforms out there. We hear the different we hear everything from SharePoint to open source to Sitecore to our platform, which is Elements Local. But essentially, these are your content management software, and what that is that's the software that allows you as a non-web developer to engage with your website and actually make updates to it. Otherwise, you'd be in a position to either have to be reliant on a web developer to go and touch your website and make updates to it, or you'd have to become a web developer and use web development tools to do that.
I know the thing that a lot of people like about, you know, blogs is that they can, change things on the go. It's easy to operate. A lot of people have a phobia about websites. You know, they put a lot of work into it. They stare at it, and they realize there's a mistake in there or something they want to revise or change. And too often than not, they push it by the wayside because they have to call up their web developer. It seems like a very tedious process. I mean, is it something that people should be phobic about?
No, and you know what? That's a really good point because I think you're absolutely right. There is this stigma that, and we've even been asked, well, can't we just use a blog, you know, for our website? Because the idea is that a blog is just so easy to use. But I think as a CMS provider, I mean, and most CMSs out there today really have made it easy, and we've actually learned from that stigma that, hey, we need to make it as easy as a blog to update this website so that somebody isn't afraid of using their CMS. So from what I can see, you know, making an update to a website via a CMS or a blog is really just as easy, and you should be able to go. And that's definitely a criteria for the technology platform you're looking at, that you should literally be able to go in there, make a change, hit save, and be done.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And, a lot of people that are looking at revising their website or starting out anew and starting with a new website, and it's really important, I think you touched on that as well, is, planning it out. I find in many cases, they just put up a wall of information, and this is true whether they're putting up a landing page or whether they're putting up a microsite or the website or developing a blog. One of the things that we use at Franchise Essential is our e-idea of explore, identify, develop, execute, and analyze. And it's a very simple process, and whatever process that you use, my suggestion is to really sit down before you put anything on paper and anything on the screen of really trying to identify what you're trying to achieve. And obviously, a lot of it has to do with your targets and the message that you're putting out there. And what's often ignored is the fact that a lot of times we have different targets we're trying to address and attract and different objectives even within each. And, of course, when we're dealing with franchising, we have a couple of different propositions. Of course, we have the consumer proposition, and then we have the franchise development proposition, and you need to make sure that the website flows correctly and easily. Otherwise, people probably will not come back to your site.
Yeah, and you know what you're referring to is, I think, is an interesting aspect of choosing a platform, because many times when you're looking at the platform, you may be looking at an organization like us where we've developed our own CMS, and we're the service agency that will actually build the website on the CMS. And sometimes that line is difficult to draw to what you're referring to, because you could have the greatest technology platform, but if you're not using great professional services that understand what you're referring to, which is information architecture and conversion strategy and call to action strategy, then, and again, you could have a Ferrari, but drive it like a go-kart.
Or as my wife always says, drive it like an old lady.
So, absolutely. I mean, you need to use the technology for what it's designed for. If I could point out for everybody on the phone, if they are right now looking for a platform, some of the other components to really make sure you're analyzing that technology against is, you have to make sure that this technology platform really caters to you as a franchise, because there are very specific needs a franchise has. So not to get too technical, but you really should be looking at a CMS that offers what are called multiple URLs, because you may choose to launch local websites, and
right.
You may choose to have that local website have its own URL, or you may choose to have that website be an extension of the corporate site. These are just options you need to be aware of in thinking about choosing a CMS. That CMS needs to also have a lot of capabilities in SEO, search engine optimization, like metadata management and integration to Google Sitemaps, and the ability to now provide HCard formatting on your addresses. I mean, these are just some of the more technical things that when you're looking at a CMS, really make sure it has the components that cater to a franchise. Because, Paul, like you and I have said in the past, I mean, franchising is not like anything else. It's not a one-size, fits-all model.
Yeah, and that's something we emphasized the other day on the webinar, the franchise social media webinar. Too often, people think, well, I'm dealing with this that person that's got a good reputation that, specializes in social media. And we come to find that, they specialize in social media in a B2B scenario or a B2C scenario. And franchising just has so many different moving parts, and also B2B and B2C within the franchise dynamic. I mean, it is more complicated, and certainly the needs are far greater even in developing websites or choosing software platforms. I mean, absolutely. And then, of course, a big thing nowadays that I see coming down the pike with more momentum are landing pages and microsites, local sites, as you mentioned, which is real important for franchisees, for franchisors, for their franchisees to have separate pages. What is the from a technological standpoint? What is the advantage of a franchisor having local franchisee pages? What's the advantage?
So let me first define really quickly that, and I'd mentioned this, that a franchisor could choose to just have a simple landing page on the franchise or corporate site, such that somebody comes to the corporate site, they type in a zip, and the nearest location shows up, and there's a web page, all the way to the other side, which is basically a full website for that franchisee. In either of those cases, the more local that content can be, the more likely it's going to show up in search engines. And a couple key components to that are, just take the example of, if you do auto repair and there are 10 local businesses that do auto repair and they went out and got websites done locally. So this is a business that is, in Chicago, and it only says it's in Chicago. So it might even have a URL, that says Auto Repair Chicago, It talks about being in Chicago, and all the content on it is about auto repair in Chicago. That versus a web page, perhaps on a corporate site, that is a part of a site that says it's also in 300 other locations, by default is not going to be as relevant to a Google as a single website that says it's only in Chicago. So the more local you can make the website, the better, and the more likely it is it's going to come up in search engines. Some of the other key advantages is if you are a franchise with 300 locations, you could now start to establish kind of a network effect of websites out there, where you'll have 300 local websites and they're all linking to each other. And there's a lot of benefit in what's called in search engine optimization when you link these websites back together, because you now have 300 locally relevant websites that are all talking about your brand, but they're all talking about them at the local level. And the other component to this is that if you can also choose a software platform that in the style you want, provide the franchisees the ability to access that website and actually contribute to it themselves, well, now you're making the website even more local, because you're giving them the ability to actually make updates locally, like we won this award locally and we're a part of this chamber locally, and all of that starts to benefit, you know, your local relevance.
And that definitely makes sense. And I know even from Google's perspective, everything at the beginning of 2010 shifted to more local. I know real-time search results have been local-driven, as well as predominantly, you know, based on social media activity and content. Everything is getting very geo-specific. And I know I hear a lot of times the terminology locator technology. Is that basically what we're talking about, or is there an extension of that?
Well, you know, the locator technology to me kind of brings up a bigger subject, which is your presence from what we call a top down and a bottom up. You know, from a top down, you really have to have two strategies if you're going to show up under relevant searches. A top down strategy means somebody knows your brand and they're coming down from the top of your brand. They know the word Mako, so they type in, you know, Mako, you know, auto repair, and they find the parent site. When they do that, you have to have a very simple to use locator so that they can get right to that local shop and the address and what they're looking for, whether it's information or the address or the phone number to call them. You need that locator on your site, and you need it to be very easy, and you need it to be robust with some features in it so that they can do what they want. It might be they want driving directions. So if you don't have a locator that gives that, you're now putting a barrier in front of that person to now have to go to do the work to get directions to your shop when your locator could have been it. Now, that versus a bottom-up search, which is they don't know your brand, so they're just typing in the words auto repair Chicago. In that case, you know, we don't need a locator. We need to, on the website, we need to show up with that local website so that it's number one, two, or three, and when they click that link, they're sitting on your local website with that information that we talked about. So, but what's interesting is, you know, a lot of franchises we talk to don't really make that separation and distinction of, okay, we need a strategy for top down and we need a strategy for bottom up. And as a part of the strategy for top down, you know, you need a really clean, simple to use locator. I can't tell you how many times we go look at locators, for franchises, and they're not easy to use, you know, and they give you that classic, we don't have anything in this area, and that's just a dead stop for a user. What would you think they're going to do when they see that? They're going to leave when
sure.
There's so much more opportunity. You know, there's the opportunity to integrate your locator into a map and just offer a larger a larger view than the zip code they typed in to say, well, we also have locations in these outlying areas. Of course, there's the opportunity to pull in your franchise sales team and work with them and try to put some language on that page or some opportunity or incentive to at least capture that audience to see if there's any interest in a franchise opportunity in that area, seeing how there wasn't a location. And that's if something doesn't show up. If something does, again, there's a lot of new technology now in a locator that you can give driving directions or put a map right there to show them exactly where it is in comparison to them. And then, Paul, I know you know we're both really hot on mobile, but the locator really begs of mobile devices. I mean, because if you're on a mobile device looking for something, what are you most likely doing? You're probably looking to actually contact or visit that shop if you're on a mobile device. So your locator on your website, 9 times out of 10, should be what shows up on a mobile device if somebody's looking for you off a mobile device, because that's what they're looking to do is actually somehow contact you.
And I think you brought up a great point there, in that it should be the same as on your mobile device. But a lot of people are under the assumption that, oh, it's on my website, so it's going to be on the mobile device the same way. And a lot of people don't realize that the website might not even show up the same on a mobile device. So there's a lot of different complex issues that present itself. And I know more and more people, as they're using smartphones in greater numbers, are using it as their locator for directions. They're accessing social media more than ever before. And a lot of times people think of mobile technology of, you know, texting and SMS and, you know, phone calls and what have you. But yet it's walking around with a mini computer.
Yeah, and if you're presenting just your website on a mobile device, which if you're not familiar with what you're doing, that is most likely what you're doing is presenting your website on a mobile device, then you're really making it a challenge for somebody to engage with you and your brand on a mobile device, because your website was not intended to be browsed on a mobile device. I mean, if you built your website like everybody else, you built it for a normal computer screen, not a small screen. So that's why there's a lot of locator technology today that is also mobile ready, because a lot of franchisors don't want their website to show up. They want just a simple locator to show up if you access them from a mobile device, because everybody's finding that, again, if you're on a mobile device, it's most likely you're looking to engage with that brand, not to read about them and click on the About Us and see about the organization. You're in a situation where you are out and mobile, and you're looking to actually contact or go to, you know, that office. And so you're looking to either click to call or click to view the map and where it is with respect to where you are.
Yeah, I just received a question by email, and I think it's worth clarifying. And the question had to do with, what's the difference between a local website, a microsite, and a landing page?
Okay.
Is that a simple enough question to answer?
Yeah. You know, and you brought up landing pages a minute ago, and I think that's great, because I'm actually going to answer that one last, and perhaps we can use that to segue to landing pages. But to start, a local website is going to be an actual website. It has its own URL. It's not franchisecompany.com/Chicago. It's something like franchisenamechicago.com. It has its own web address. You could put that web address on a business card and somebody could go to it, and it would just be your website. There would, of course, be brand control on that site. You wouldn't be able to do anything you want on it. But that's what a local site is. It has you know, 10, 15 web pages, and it's a website like any other that you can really engage with. And you don't have to leave that site to go learn anything else. It's all it has everything on it. A micro page typically is you're at the corporate site and you click on locations and you pull up the Chicago location. It's a single web page. And the difference there is you're still on the corporate site, and you're still, when you navigate, you're navigating to corporate level pages. So even if you got to the local micro page and engaged with that page and say, okay, John is here in Chicago and these are the particular services he offers, as soon as you leave that page and navigate to something else on that website, you're now back into the corporate site, not still on a local site. So, I mean, that's the key difference between a local and a micro.
Okay.
A landing page, to me, is, and I believe I've been hearing a lot of this because I think landing pages are starting to get a lot of attention, and they should be. And I think a lot of people are starting to kind of use the word landing page, thinking that, well, my local website or my micro page is my landing page. But Paul, you tell me what you think. But we classify a landing page as a page that was created specifically for a campaign. You know, if you go out and do a pay-per-click ad or if you do a banner ad somewhere and you are promoting a particular special or promotion, $10 off of this, you want to direct that audience to a particular landing page that is structured to then engage and convert that audience. That's what a landing page is, and that goes back, Paul, to what you were saying, that you should retest more. That's why I think landing pages need a lot more attention than they get and really should be, you know, something we talk about, because landing page technology is actually really starting to take off, so that
right.
franchisees can actually very quickly create a landing page effectively, use it, see if it worked. If it didn't, choose a different landing page and really leverage the power of landing pages.
Right, absolutely. And I do agree with you that it's campaign specific, and campaign could also be objective specific. And I know now with Open Graph Protocol, which Facebook came out with, it's easier now to put the Facebook like button right on that landing page, and it operates or acts as if it's right within the Facebook platform. And when they like that page, it does register on the responder's own Facebook page that they like that. So there's a lot of new technology that's popping out. But I want to ask a specific question about the landing page, because you mentioned that it's a standalone, the franchisee can change it. And going back to, you know, websites and local websites and microsites, does a landing page that's obviously, we're not talking about a Facebook landing page, a separate landing page, does that have its own unique URL?
It can. It definitely
okay.
it could, and that's the kind of technology that's coming out. And I think the fact that franchises are talking about landing pages, and in fact we're building a new functions into our platform for landing page management, I think just shows the level of sophistication is definitely getting up there. That if we go back to the progression that we talked about, where you start with a website and you got to choose a platform to go with. You got to make sure that platform is right for you and, you know, has all the bells and whistles you need on it. And let's just say that platform provides local websites for all of your 300 franchisees. Well, now they have one tool out of 10 that they need to effectively market locally. They've got their website. As a component of that, they should now have the ability to create landing pages when they start creating campaigns. And it ties right into the website itself, that you should be able to go into your website and say, I'm going to start a new campaign with, say, you know, Reach Local, my PPC provider, and I want to create the landing page that their campaigns direct to go to. You should be able to click build landing page, create a simple URL for that. That could be its own URL, or it could just be your domain name /, you know, landing page one. And you should be able to affect that page. Perhaps the franchisor is offering different types of landing pages, 3 or 4, and you get to choose which one. Or perhaps the franchisor allows you to actually make some changes on that landing page and then save it and then go out and say, okay, here's the landing page I'd like you to use. That landing page management, then you move into, okay, I need to track that landing page to see the conversion against it. And to take it one step further, if you could actually do some level of testing where perhaps you launch a print campaign and you send half of the printed advertising to one page and half to the other, and you actually track the conversion on that landing page, whether it's a click to join our newsletter or click, you know, call us or fill out this form, now you're talking about being able to create a landing page specific to a campaign, which is very powerful because, Paul, you know as well as I do, there's lots of campaigns out there that get directed to home pages.
Mm-hmm. Only thing they are able to use to analyze the effectiveness of a campaign is if they see a spike in visits to the home page.
Yeah. Well, and research shows that there's a correlation between what I saw on, say, Google when I clicked the ad itself, and then the page that comes up. And if I click an ad that says special, get $10 off, and I land on a home page, and that message is way down below the fold, well, you may lose that person because they don't actually see that when they click to the page, it was there, but it was just down below. Whereas if you have a dedicated landing page that talks to just what they clicked on, you know, your rate of conversion is going to increase dramatically.
Sure.
And not to mention, like you said, the reporting is easier because you're not going to direct anybody else to that landing page. You're only going to use that landing page for that particular campaign. And that's another piece of landing page management, is to make sure it's not in the sitemap of your website so anybody else can get it. You're not indexing it with search engines, so search engines aren't reaching that page when they're spidering your site. So there's a lot to landing page management. And then, again, that holy grail that everybody's now looking to is, okay, well, that's great. Now I'd love to be able to test that landing page against another one, say, instead of a red button, a blue button. And I got to say, Google, you know, has just come out with what they call Website Optimizer, which I think everybody should go look at. Google is just, I think, revolutionized analytics and brought analytics to the non-Fortune 500, really, you know, when they came out with Google Analytics. And I think they've done it again with Website Optimizer, because traditionally, A/B testing, multivariate testing, this was very expensive stuff to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, nowadays, with something like a Website Optimizer from Google, it's free and very easy to use. So there's now very powerful tools that, you know, we're now starting to offer and suggest that our clients use, that really give them, you know, what used to be very sophisticated, you know, enterprise level work, you know, is now coming, you know, down to the small to mid-sized businesses, that they can actually leverage this kind of technology.
Sure, and it's being simplified. And You know, you brought up a lot of different scenarios, and I know there are people listening and will be listening on demand after the show. They're going to say, God, that just sounds so complicated. You know, develop this landing page, develop that landing page. And I know within your software, and I think it's only fair as this is not a promotional program, to mention that there are other softwares that's probably similar to Elements Local. And I know, you know, FranConnect is probably working on one. I know there's EmpowerKit and there's others that are out there. That make this simpler for the franchisee, and that, of course, you know, works hand in hand with dashboards. You know, just like, you know, Process Peak and FranConnect's Captivate have for the purpose of franchise sales. So, I mean, there's a lot of technology to choose out there. From your standpoint, how should a franchisor look at the various options that are out there for them, whether it be for the proposition, the consumer proposition, or from a franchise sales proposition? What, give, you know, a couple of bullet points of what they should look at if they're not using any of that type of software. What should they be looking at?
As they go out, and they should definitely, you know, start with their list of must-haves. You know, when you look at any software technology, right, you have to start with your absolute must-haves. And you should really break it out that way into, I must have these and I'd like to have these. And that way you can really go out there and look at a technology and say, okay, I know it's got the 10 things I absolutely need. What are the value adds that it's going to give me that perhaps I can leverage or perhaps I'll grow into? So you absolutely have to have your list, because like we say, I mean, franchising is just not the same. And if you're in an industry where it's highly competitive and you really do have locally entrenched competitors, then perhaps something like a technology that delivers local websites with its own URL is a must for you. You know, or if you're the kind of franchise who does a lot of different campaigns, then the landing page management is a must for you. Or if you're looking to really engage with social media in 2011, then social media has got to be a piece of it, and that's a must. From there, you know, the second component to looking at software comes down to how flexible and customizable it is for you. You know, the spectrum there, of course, is going to be everything from, you know, build it yourself to the off-the-shelf platform that's got all the features and you can toggle them all on and off. I mean, ideally, I would think, you know, most businesses today do not want to build something from scratch. They'd like something off the shelf, but they'd have to really make sure that it's customizable, you know, that there are 100 features and you can turn them all on and off. You know, and then the third component is definitely ask, you know, technology vendors for their roadmap of what's in the future. What are you looking at? Do you have a roadmap? You know, how active is it? How often do you update your software? And then you'll be able to look and see whether they're headed in the same direction you are. You know, looking at a product roadmap can be very, very revealing, and you'll notice, you'll really see what the core of that technology is. You know, because a lot of times, a technology platform has its core, and then it's got a lot of bells and whistles around it, and it's the roadmap where you can tell truly where that product is and where it's headed, is what are the future upgrades that they're making to it.
Absolutely, good points. You know, the second point you had made about the customizable feature, and I think a lot of business owners out there and specifically franchisors out there, you know, believe when they talk about software that it's, you know, pretty much a one-size-fits-all, you know, just like buying Microsoft software out of a box. You can't really adjust the parameters. But in this case, a lot of the software platforms are customizable, and I think it fits right in with our theory that it's not a one-size-fits-all scenario, and you can't put that square peg in a round hole. And it should be towards, you know, your needs and your desires and what your objectives are in working with a software provider, and certainly a hell of a lot more cost effective and a hell of a lot less of a task than developing software from scratch.
Yeah, and you know, we've moved to a world of, you know, the Salesforce, you know, .com, you know, leads the way in what's called SaaS, software as a service. You know, where they don't provide just the software, but the, you know, they provide all the service around it, and that's what our model is. It's a software as a service because we recognize franchises don't, they want to offer local websites and local website programs, but they want to stay lean, you know, at the corporate level. They don't want to hire, you know, web developers and trainers to train you on how to, you know, update websites and things like that. So, yeah, the SaaS model is really is a great model, but again, it absolutely has to fit you as a franchise, because we haven't said it explicitly here, but you know, the dynamic between the franchisor and the franchisee, and like you said, not being a one size fits all, is just pervades the whole your internet marketing program. You know, every piece of your internet marketing program is going to be affected by what the dynamic and what the policies and procedures are between the franchisor and the franchisee. You know, does the technology platform you're looking at offer some level of brand control because you have strict rules on the use of your brand? You know, does it have the ability to actually establish what's called workflow every time somebody makes a change to their web page or an email they want to send out or a social media post they want to send out? Can you as a franchisor elect to actually see that and either approve or reject that? So every piece of online marketing, because it goes out to the consumer, is really affected by what the policies and procedures are at the corporate level. So, you know, having that ability to really customize a solution is necessary in the franchise space, probably more than any other industry out there.
Oh, sure. You know, obviously, you know, this is all important from a franchise. Well, let me phrase this as a question. Why is this important from a franchisee's perspective, from an operating franchisee and a prospective franchisee? Why is this? Why do you think this is important to the from an operating franchisee or from a prospective franchisee?
Why is the technology?
Yeah.
So, yeah, no, and that you're bringing up a great point. And it's the other major aspect of internet marketing is that the franchisee can contribute. You know, and that, this isn't like traditional marketing where the franchisor would put out radio ads and TV ads. There was no local level contribution there. It just happened.
Sure.
It was outbound marketing. You know, we now live in a world of inbound marketing, where the social media is hyper personal. So the best person to do social media is the person in Chicago. So yeah, I think it's the component that the franchisee can contribute that really now in today's world forces the franchisor to choose technology that has that dual purpose of giving the franchisor enough control so that they can. You know, they can secure the brand and promote the brand, but also give the franchisee some control because there's so much value to the franchisee contributing at the local level. I mean, just to give you an example, and again, I'm sure there's lots of technology out there that does this, not to promote just ours, but a good use a good feature of a technology platform is. If you have a content management software that allows these three things, you know, then this really, I think, drives home the point you were asking, Paul, is if a franchisor can come into the CMS because they've now learned something new, like there's a new keyword, let's say, in your industry that's really hot. And in the initial build-out of the website, we didn't know that. So the franchisor comes in, it's that important, it's that hot. They create a web page, and they send that web page down to every franchisee, and they send them a note that says, we just created this new page, this new content on your website because we know these keywords are great and people searching them, and so we really think this is going to benefit you and get you more traffic because now you have a page with these keywords. But on top of that, to now start to, understand that the franchisee can contribute, it'd be great to also allow the franchisor to create a web page and send it down to the franchisee only as a pending queue that says, we'd really love you to contribute to this web page before it goes live. So please go in, put your personal touches on it, and then hit save, and it'll go live on your website. And then the third option is to just let the franchisee on their own time go in and add a web page because they know locally there, that's what matters. For example, in Florida, the size of, the standard door is larger than anywhere else in the country. So, naturally when the franchisor builds a website, they're not going to build a page on an oversized door just for Florida. But the franchisees in Florida need to go in and do that once this, new website's live.
Right. And I think it's a good point that prospective franchisees should ask franchisors about how much involvement they will have in this marketing. And it does all integrate together. I'm a big proponent of the term integrated franchise marketing because it does all work together. It all does build your entire platform for franchise candidates to see, franchisees to use, franchisor staff to use. And the key, therefore, is, maximizing all these tools and technology. It kind of a comprehensive plan that benefits the entire franchise organization. And I think that's really key, and I think that's a big difference between these other scenarios of B2B and B2C technology. So basically, this technology arms race, if you call it that, is important to franchisees and if franchisors don't invest in that technology, certainly they'll be less attractive to today's franchisors and probably less competitive.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, I think this kind of technology, and not only is, of course, is it going to put you in front of more people on the internet? That's everything we've been talking about. But from a franchise perspective, from a new franchise perspective, if they're out there seeing a local website and they can tell that the local franchisee can contribute to that website, and they start looking a little deeper and they see, wow, that franchisee can also, they also have their own Facebook and Twitter. That'll really change their perspective on that franchisor and clearly they'll see that, well, this franchisor is on the leading edge of technology. As a franchisee, I'd be able to update my own website. I mean, these are things that give franchisors a competitive advantage when they're talking to prospective franchisees.
Sure, and as I thought it would be the case, I mean, I know you and I could talk hours on these subjects and looking at the outline that we had prepared going into this, we're probably going to leave a lot on the table, which means, I can invite you back another time to be a guest, and I would look forward to that. And I know we talk a lot on this show as well as webinars and everything else about social media. So a lot of that information is already out there on social media. And I know I had a lot of people know I had an article in Franchising World of simplifying social media for optimum results, which was back in August in the technology issue of Franchising World. So I'm going to leave social media alone for right now and turn my attention. We did talk about mobile marketing a little bit, or at least using mobile technology. Email technology, Are you seeing anything new from a new technology standpoint? How has technology helped franchisors and franchisees alike in an email marketing perspective?
You know, that's a really great question. And I have to say, email is that silent killer app to me. There's not a lot new in email, but what I see by and large is everybody is so hot on social media and local websites and local search and mobile that, you know, we've kind of forgotten about the power of email. In email is one of our oldest forms of online marketing. It's incredibly effective when used properly. So we see ourselves by and large trying to re-engage our clients with email and kind of equalizing, you know, their efforts across social, web, and email. I mean, some of the great things that people probably talk about all the time, you know, I really should have this in place, of course, is drip campaigns. Incredibly powerful. I mean, talk about automated technology. If somebody signs up to your website for something and you send them back one email, well, I mean, and if you had a drip campaign in place, you'd send them an email every month for the next year. Mm-hmm. And you wouldn't do anything. You'd only set that up once. You know, birthday club, you know, incredibly, incredibly powerful. And, you know, we don't see a lot of this going in, and we see incredible results when we set franchise systems up with the ability to email. You know, I will say one thing, though. There is one aspect of email that is new for a franchisor. I know franchisors struggle a lot with going to a major email provider and saying, well, look, I have 300 locations, and I'd like to be able to keep it segmented like that. I'd like each franchisee to be able to go in and send out to a list, but I'd like the franchisor to be able to go in and have some level of control and reporting as well. And I know a lot of the major email providers are just not set up that way. You know, you'd have to actually just tell each franchise to go out and get an account. And I know a lot of providers like us who are trying to create, you know, single dashboards to integrate and automate everything. We've gone out there and partnered with an email provider so that we could go around that problem where, you know, the franchisor doesn't have to now go get 300 accounts. We've established a connection to this email provider where right in our system we have 300 franchisees. They each get their own dashboard. They can send out an email. And it all rolls up to the franchisor. So that is something new that providers like us now have been able to create a great solution for a franchisor. Whereas in the past, if you went straight to the email provider, they're still working on being structured. You know, for a franchise where, you know, our system from the ground up was built for a franchise.
Mm-hmm. You know, one of the things that I stress quite often when we talk about integrated franchise marketing is how well you can integrate all this technology through email with links. And it's, you know, if somebody gets an email and it has no links, they're gonna do one of three things real quick with it. They're gonna read it and throw it away. They're gonna read it and file it and maybe act upon it later on. Or they're going to immediately act upon it. But I know we have found that when you provide links, whether it be to your social media sites, whether it be to your website, to a landing page, to even to relevant, pertinent information to your target audience, we have found that people are spending, you know, 5, 6, 7 minutes in and around your email and your message as opposed to 10 or 20 seconds. And we are running out of time, but the one thing that I'd like to mention here, because what I'm taking away out of this is prospective franchisees, you know, I think will measure their potential and franchise investment in the future by the technologies the franchisor has employed for franchisee benefit. And I think that's a key point that startup franchisors should be looking at. Well, Jeremy, our time is running out. I really appreciate you being my guest today. Thank you, and I would like to invite you for a future show.
Well, of course, I'd be delighted. And, I mean, Paul, I think you are an incredible trusted resource in the franchise space. So I really, really appreciate being on the show. You know, your following clearly shows, I mean, how much information is out there and needs to be conveyed, you know, to the franchise community. So, and congratulations again on your grandson.
Well, I appreciate that. Remember, everybody, next week my guest will be the IFA's Alisa Harrison as we discuss everything IFA. Until then, I'm Paul Segretto wishing you the best in this great thing we call franchising. Franchise Today is out.